Hey guys, welcome to One Purpose Church.
Yeah, here we believe that we are a group of imperfect people radically committed to loving others and leading them to Jesus.
We are so excited that you decided to join us on the podcast today. Feel free to tune in each week for awesome messages by Pastor Chad. Let's jump right in.
Every year, Jewish people would come together and they would celebrate what they call, and I'm putting my teaching hat on if that's okay for you today. We're going to teach a little bit today. The Jewish people would come together and they would celebrate what they called the Passover. Now, I know a lot of us know what that is, but be patient with me for those who don't, amen? Because not everybody is on the same, place when it comes to biblical knowledge. And so the Passover was a time, and they would always celebrate this, but remember back in Moses' day where the plagues would come in, and there was 10 plagues, and the 10th one was the worst, and Pharaoh was the bad guy in the story. He was the ruler of the land, and Pharaoh was putting a hard hand on the Egyptians, and they were his slaves, and God wanted to pull the Israelites. I'm sorry. So Pharaoh had the Egyptians, and God's people were the Israelites. Okay, so God wanted to bring the Israelites out of that area, and He sent Moses in, and He told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go. You need to let these people go. No more, or are they going to be your slaves?" And of course, it got to the 10th plague, and the 10th plague was the worst one. And Pharaoh was warned. He said, "If Moses said to Pharaoh, if you don't let these people go, God's going to come in, and all your firstborn children are going to be killed." And of course, that night, the Israelites, God's chosen people, were to sacrifice a lamb. And of course, that's symbolic. Jesus is the Lamb of God, amen. And they would dip the reeds, kind of like a paintbrush, if you will, into the blood that was shed, and they would paint that over top of their doorposts. Remember this story now? Is anybody coming? And with that blood covering over their doorpost, that was symbolic of covering their sin. When that angel of death came in, the houses that didn't have the blood covering them, no protection, while they were struck, and their firstborn of that house would lose their firstborn child. And certainly the angel of death come in, and where they get the name Passover was all the Egyptians lost their firstborn because they didn't have the blood covering them. But when the angel of death went into the camp of Egypt, or I'm sorry, the Israelites, why the angel of death would pass over those houses and they would be spared, right? And their children would be spared. And that's where they got, well, every year they would celebrate this Passover and they would come to the cities and they would celebrate the time that God protected them. Well, one year when they were gathering, they were told that their king was coming to the celebration, right? Which is what we call Palm Sunday. That's what we celebrate. And in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, I'm just going to read it straight up. It says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, tell me, if anyone says anything to you, tell him the Lord has need of them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill the spoken what was spoken through the prophet, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches, that's why we call those palm branches, from the trees, and they spread them on the ground. Now the crowds that went ahead of him and those who had followed him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And it finishes out by saying, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And so we can see that this was an extremely joyous time for Jesus and his followers, right? They get into Jerusalem and everybody's yelling and they're shouting. And Jesus had been doing some amazing things and he'd been healing people and everybody had seen those miracles, right? Matter of fact, when he got off, if you read the story longer, he went into the synagogue and he continued to heal the blind and the lame, the Bible says. But I want to point something out here real quick, okay? This is the only time in the Bible that anything like this had ever happened. Jesus was never, ever one that was seeking attention. And he didn't do it this day to seek attention. Matter of fact, his character was just the opposite of that. He would try and to shy away, if you will, and go off to a mountain somewhere alone and pray to the Father. And that's more like what Jesus was. But this was a little different event, right? And the people's beliefs were partially correct. And they believed that Jesus was the Christ. That's correct. But they also believed that he would be king of this world and he'd free them from their hardships that the Romans placed on him. That's what they believed. He was going to set up this earthly kingdom. So naturally, they're excited. They're joyous. They're singing praises. They worship Jesus as he in Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name. They're singing. They're dancing, I'm sure. It's just an awesome time. Which brings me to the first point I want to make here, and that's this. Jesus, number one, deserves our praise and worship. He just deserves it, whether we feel like it or not. He just does, right? And that's one of the reasons we sing songs. That's praise. But how many of us know praise doesn't just end at singing songs? You can worship God in everything that you do. You can worship God in the workplace. You can worship God singing. You can honor God the way you raise your children. Amen. There's a million ways that we can worship God, and he deserves it. Now, little did the people know that the reason that Jesus came was to free people, but not from the Romans. He came to free people from sin. Amen? Do we understand that? He came to free people from sin, and that's the second point I want to make today. He came to give us everlasting life, and certainly it didn't stop right there. He extends that offer to every one of us. We can have freedom from our sins. Amen. The Bible says if we confess those sins, he takes them as far as the east is from the west. And I'm thinking, east is from the west. Am I right there? Maybe not. I don't know. But that's the God we serve, right? And he'll deliver us and he'll set us free from those sins. Now, this is hard, but I'm going to shift gears here, okay? So we just left a joyous time. I'd love to spend the rest of the time just talking about how awesome that would have been. But we got another thing that we need to cover today, and that's the tragic side of this whole story. So a lot of things happened between Palm Sunday and Good Friday. A whole lot of things happened. And I'm going to recap as fast as I can some of them, mostly Matthew 26. But Matthew 26, verses 3 and 4, this is kind of the beginning of some of the things that happened. The chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, bad dude, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way, any way they could. They were going to kill him, amen? That's one of the reasons I do not like the thought of religion, if you will. I just don't. These guys were horrible people. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, they literally were plotting to kill God. That's horrible. I just boils my blood, right? And so that's what these guys are doing, right? And it just kept getting worse and worse. They seized Jesus, they arrested him, and that was the start of a horrific trial, a beating beyond measure. John 18:22 was kind of the first of it. One of the officials struck him in the face. Has anyone here seen The Passion of Christ? It was brutal. Yeah, I think that we don't know exactly what it looked like when Jesus was crucified, but that might have been a good rendition of some of the things. Matthew 27:27 through 31 kind of goes through some of it. I'm going to go through it quickly. It says, the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole garrison around him. This is a gang banger thing here. It's just horrible. They're beating him. They stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted the crown of thorns and put it on his head, the Bible says. They didn't put it on. They probably crammed it on. It was painful. They took a reed. They put it in his right hand. They bowed before him. They're mocking him. They're making fun of God, of Jesus, if you will. They said, hey, O King of the Jews. Then they spit on him. They spat on him. It was just horrible. And then they took the reed from him. And they took the reed, and when after they had mocked him, they beat him with it. They hit him on the head, the Bible says. And then they took him away to be crucified. I mean, I don't want to talk about this. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate this part. But I think it's important for this reason, because it shows how much God loved us. If we skipped over this, we would miss the love that God had, to the extent of the love that God had for us. We can't miss that, right? And so we can't. Mark 10:34 says they mocked him, they spit on him, and then they flogged him. I want to talk about flogging for just a minute. Flogging was an act of whipping and lashing someone, methodically beating a human body to the point with special whips, rods. They would take a cat of nine tails, and they had leather strips, not a single whip, but multiple. They would tie shards of broken pottery and glass and nails or anything they could to the end of these things. And it would come down, and with each blow, it would just rip flesh off. It would just tear your flesh. It was said, and I think it's even in the scripture, Paul got this too, but they said 40 lashes would kill you. So they gave him 40 lashes, save one. Right? They took him 39 lashes right to the edge of death, just bleeding. And then if that weren't enough, they nailed him, his hands and feet, that's crucified, to a cross. They literally put the nails through his hands, through his feet. I'm not going to argue about where they're at. It doesn't matter. It was painful. And blood was shed. And while he's hanging there, and this is just the vast love that we see that Jesus has, not just for those who are watching, but for all of creation, for that moment on, for eternity. We're all in this. Jesus in Luke 23:34 says, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. He's hanging on the cross right here when he says this, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. They parted his raiment, they cast lots, they took his clothes, right? But you want to talk about love? That while Jesus is dying the most excruciating death in the world, he's asking the Father to forgive us. They don't even know what they're doing. That to me is just love, unconditional. Amen. That just shows us love. And I'll tell you, his disciples would have been somewhere within eyeshot of this. His followers, his loved ones, they were watching this whole process, and they were wanting to see how this was going to play out, and they're paying attention. In John 19:25-27, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, is standing there, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene's down there. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which we know that to be John, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he says to his disciple, that's John, behold your mother. And from that hour, it says the disciple took her to his own home. And so you see that even on the cross, Jesus is making preparations to take care of mom there, if you will. And all these people are watching. And these same people were the same people who would have saw him doing these miracles that were just off the charts, raising people from the dead, giving the blind sight, healing those who are sick, just over and over. And I guarantee you, I shouldn't say guarantee, I think strongly that a lot of them were probably hoping for a miracle on that day. Weren't they? I guarantee you they were. I shouldn't say guarantee. I'm going to back up one more time. I think they were. I would have been. And it's the same thing that we were hoping for a miracle for Carson last weekend, weren't we? We were hoping for that, and we were wanting that, and they're wanting that. John 19:30, the second part, it finishes out, and he's hanging there, and he's been there for hours, and nighttime has, it's nighttime now, it's dark, and he says, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit, and Jesus died. And we call that Good Friday, but the truth is it was a very sad Friday. Amen? This was a horrific event. And they didn't get the miracle that they were looking for that day, did they? They didn't. And here's the thing. That day, if Jesus hadn't have died and made a way for everyone in here to go to heaven, then none of us could be saved. It had to happen that way. There was no other way. Jesus, at one point in time, this is off the cuff, but he prayed to God, if there's any other way, Lord, can we please do it that way? Because I don't really want to endure this crucifixion and flogging and death. But there was no other way. In some ways, maybe there's a similarity. And I'm not saying Carson's Jesus or nothing like that. Don't hear me wrong. But our flesh and selfishness, we want Carson here with us. And I get it. But we can't see the bigger picture. And I promise you this. I know this to be true because of the character of God. God's plan is divine. And we just have to trust. Psalm 62, 7 and 8 says, in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And it says, trust, verse 8, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And yet, Jesus did die on a cross that day. We all know that. But there was still a plan. There was still a purpose in place that the disciples couldn't see. I'm going to ask our praise and worship team to come up. And we're going to close. We're not going long today. Maybe you think it's long. I don't know. But the thing that they couldn't see, and I'm holding back here a little bit because we're going to celebrate next weekend, was that in 3 days, Jesus was going to raise from the dead to prove that there is life after death. Hallelujah. There is life after death, and we're going to celebrate that next weekend. But Jesus, like I said, he came to free us, from our sins. That's why he came, and that's what I want our focus to be a little bit more on, just that somber, solemn time frame when Jesus was dying and when he was on the cross. And remember that he said, Jesus, forgive them, because he truly wants us to live a life free from sin. Amen? And freedom from that sin brings us joy, and it'll bring us peace, and it'll bring us happiness, free from heartache. Maybe this is the word for somebody, I don't know, but he wants to free anybody right now who's living in a state of bitterness. That's why Jesus died, amen? He died to free us from sin, and free us from that bitterness, free us from anything that's separating us and him. We're going to get these lights. We're going to bring them down. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads for a minute. Maybe today we take a few minutes here. And I've found there's times when I don't want to do something, but I know it's what's best, and I'll do it just because I know what's best. Maybe even if we don't feel like it, today we reflect on what Jesus did for us on that cross. And just out of obedience and love, we thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. We're not going to put him back on the cross. Can I tell you, he doesn't remain there. He didn't live there. They took his body off of that cross. He rose again, amen? But he did die for us, and he's the ultimate sacrifice to take away those sins. And maybe we take the next minute or two and we reflect on that, and we thank Jesus for what he did. Thank God. You know, that was God in the flesh, folks. That was God in the flesh, taking our sins, all of them, upon himself. We may not have gotten our miracle the way we wanted, but I'm confident in this, and I've shifted gears here. Carson lives today because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He does live. He's living in the presence of God Almighty right now. That's a fact. I know that because he was saved. He confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, and he believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible promises us salvation in that. He promises us we can be born again. And I'm just going to ask, man, if there's anybody out there who says, you know, I've never done that. Maybe you're thinking like I was thinking. Years ago, that was 25 years ago, I lost my best friend. Maybe you're thinking, I do want to see Carson again, but I don't know how to do that. And today, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want you to raise your hand right where you're at, saying, yep, that's me, Pastor. I want Jesus as my Savior. If you've never done that, yes, Lord, I want him. I don't know if I've missed anybody or not, but my eyes cast out and I didn't see any hands, and that's okay. It's not always about that. Maybe everybody in here knows Jesus as their Savior already. That's awesome. That's amazing. But maybe you don't. You were too scared. I'm just going to say, if you don't know him, This is how you do it. And you put it in your own words. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on that cross for me some 2,000 years ago. Lord, I heard the words and I realized that he loved me. That's why he died on the cross, to take away my sins. I believe that. In Jesus' name, I believe that. Today, I'm asking him to come into my heart and live. I surrender my life to you, Father God. I want you as my Lord and as my Savior. Lord, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. I'm yours, Father. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to follow along with us on this journey and hear the weekly messages from each Sunday, the best way to do that would be to just hit that subscribe button and you'll get that notification each week. So we're looking forward to having you guys.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.